Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to him belong. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea. Billows his will obey. He, your Savior, wants to be saved today. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Lord, I just thank you that you did lift me out of the angry waves. Lord, you set me in the boat with you, and you spoke to the storm, and it became calm, Lord. And I just thank you that you calm the storms of our lives. Lord, we just ask you to be with us tonight and bring calm, Lord. Bring your peace. Bless the time here tonight now, Lord, that your truth would be heard and would be received. Lord, that the seeds of truth would be planted and they would take root and multiply many times over. Amen. Hallelujah. Does anybody have any testimonies? Everybody raise their hand. Hallelujah. Nobody. Anybody have a request? Annette. 200?
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes.
Fits right in with what we heard this morning, too. Oft escape this tempter's snare by running to that hour of prayer. Hallelujah. Any other requests? Hallelujah. 140. Gonna be a quiet night tonight. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses and the voice I hear falling on.
Yeah.
Isn't God wonderful? He is so precious. So precious. I gotta tell a little story. That when we started singing this, these things drift through my brain. Little boy in Sunday school, the teacher, I'm sure most of you have heard it, asked the Sunday school class, does anybody know what the name of God is? Yeah. Andy. Andy? Yeah. Andy walks with me. Andy talks with me. It's gotta be Andy. Hallelujah. Christy? 375. Should have had this one first. Hallelujah. Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home from the celestial shore. I'll fly away, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by. This life have gone, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars is flown, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, bye and bye, I'll fly away. Just a just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by,
I believe it's offering time.
I see the Lord high and lifted up, seated on the throne of my life. I see the Lord high and lifted up, seated on the throne. Ready. Bless you, Lord. To do your will. Hallelujah.
May be seated. I hope that you are ready to do his will and that your heart is in a place this evening where you can receive from the word of the Lord. So Rodney's coming tonight to minister the word of God to us, but God bless him as he comes. Open your hearts to him.
Thank you, Pastor. It wasn't a beautiful day today. Yeah, pretty soon it's going to be springtime. It wasn't too long ago on a Sunday night. We had left church here, and Ma and Dad were riding with me. And it was in the fall, towards the end of summer, and seemed like summer went so fast. Seems like winter's going so fast. It seems like time is going so fast. The pastor mentioned something this morning in his sermon when he prayed. It was really interesting. It just stuck out at me. Can you all hear me? He said we need to take inventory. And last night, I was looking at some of my pictures from my annual, from high school, from college. And you just look and you wonder, where does all the time go? And what have I accomplished in the last 10, 20 years? And what difference would it have really made if I'd done more for Jesus? But anyway, on the way home that night, I knew that there was a skunk, a dead skunk in the road. And I thought, you know, it's the end of summer. And soon we won't be able to smell those skunks anymore. So since the skunk was already dead, and I thought Mom and Dad might enjoy this, I rolled my windows down and back and forth over that skunk. You know, sometimes we just got to get out of a routine. The other day, sometimes I just have funny things that come to me, especially when I'm in a store. It seems like I talk to everyone I see. Some people don't want to go back to stores with me, namely Tim and Mark Severson. But one day, we was in Fleet Farm. And Mark had loaded up too many re-rod. There was, you know, I don't know, Calvin was pouring a floor or something. And I guess it wasn't a floor. It must have been footings. And we were checking out a Fleet Farm there. And they check you over really good. And Mark had too many on there. And that lady guard, she says, "You got too many." "Oh, no, I don't. I counted them." And then this great big guy comes over. "You got too many on there." Mark gets out. "Let me see." So he counts them, and he has too many. And his face turns kind of red. And he says, "Okay, you know." And we get back in the truck. He's really embarrassed. And that big guy leans his head in the window, and he says, "You know," he says, I don't think you really meant to take them. You know, it happens. People make mistakes." And I interrupted him in the middle of his speech, and I said, "Well, I told him not to do it. I told him he'd never get away with it." And they laughed. I mean, you know. Anyway. Yeah, no wonder. I have, the last two times I preached, I mentioned a little bit on health to start with. Do you remember what they were? To go back first, eat your fiber, then take vitamin C twice a day and vitamin E once a day. And today I'd just like to mention one more thing, and that's to take fish oil every day, because fish oil cuts the risk of colon cancer by 55%. And I think that's a good idea. Just a recommendation, a health recommendation. So much for that. I wanted Jim to play a song there from Twyla Paris. I can't sing like Twyla, and I'm not even going to try, but this song means a lot to me, and I hope that you can understand the words. It's about a young man that goes to war in World War II, and he gets killed walking up a hill. I'd just like Jim to play that, like you to listen to it.
He was 21 in 1945.
What did he die for? I believe we will all answer to heaven for the way that we've spent this price of liberty. During that time, I'll read you a story. A brand new pastor and his wife, newly assigned to their first ministry to reopen a church in suburban Brooklyn, arrived in early October excited about all their opportunities. When they saw their church, it was really run down and needed a lot of work. They set a goal to have everything done in time to have their first Christmas Eve. They worked hard repairing pews, plastering walls, painting. And on December 18th, they were ahead of schedule and just about finished. On December 19th, a terrible storm hit the area and lasted for 2 days. On the 21st, the pastor went over to the church. His heart sunk when he saw that the roof had leaked, causing a large area of plaster about 6 foot by 8 feet to fall off the front wall of the sanctuary, just behind the pulpit, about head high. The pastor cleaned up the mess on the floor, and not knowing what else to do but postpone the Christmas Eve service, headed home. On the way, he noticed that a local business was having a flea market type sale for charity, so he stopped in. One of the items was a beautiful, handmade, ivory-colored, crocheted tablecloth. It was exquisitely done with fine colors and a cross embroidered right in the center. It was just the right size to cover up the hole in the front wall. He bought it and headed back to church. By this time, it had started to snow. An older woman running from the opposite direction was trying to catch the bus. She missed it. The pastor invited her to wait in the warm church for the next 45 minutes. She sat in a pew and paid no attention to the pastor while he got a ladder, hangers, etc. He put up the tablecloth as a wall tapestry. The pastor could hardly believe how beautiful it looked, and it covered the entire problem area. Then he noticed the woman walking down the center aisle. Her face was white like a sheet. "Pastor," she asked, "where did you get that tablecloth?" The pastor explained. The woman asked him to check the lower right corner to see if the initials EBG were crocheted. And they were, right there. These were the initials of that very woman. And she had made that tablecloth 35 years before in Austria. The woman could hardly believe it as the pastor told how he had just gotten the tablecloth. The woman explained that before the war, she and her husband were well-to-do people in Austria. When the Nazis came, she was forced to leave. Her husband was going to follow her the next week. She was captured, sent to prison, and never saw her husband or her home again. The pastor wanted to give her the tablecloth, but she made the pastor keep it for the church. The pastor insisted on driving her home. That was the least he could do. She lived on the other side of Staten Island and was only in Brooklyn for the day for a house cleaning job. What a wonderful service they had on Christmas Eve. The church was almost full. The music and the spirit were great. At the end of the service, the pastor and his wife greeted everyone at the door, and many said that they would return. One older man, whom the pastor recognized from the neighborhood, continued to sit in the pews and stare. And the pastor wondered why he wasn't leaving. The man asked him where he got the tablecloth on the front wall, because it was identical to the one that his wife had made years ago when they lived in Austria before the war. And how could there be two tablecloths so much alike? He told the pastor how the Nazis came, how they forced his wife to flee from her safety. He was supposed to follow her, but he was arrested and put in a concentration camp. He never saw his wife or his home again in all that 35 years. The pastor asked him if he would allow him to take him for a little ride. They drove to Staten Island to the same house where the pastor had taken the woman 3 days earlier. He helped the man climb the 3 flights of stairs to the woman's apartment, knocked on the door, and they had the greatest Christmas reunion you could ever imagine. God does work in mysterious ways. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6. The Lord speaks through Isaiah. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health spring forth speedily. And thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rear reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and the speaking of vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noonday. I believe that we need to hope in the Lord, and he'll bear us up on eagle's wings. I believe that at the name of Jesus, every tongue will still confess that he is Lord. Every knee will bow. I still believe that. Do you know the power of Jesus' name today? The devils do. And I know you've heard that before, but I want to remind you, the devils do. Do you know the power of Jesus' name? When they hear it, they tremble. Say with me, Jesus, 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 Jesus. He delights my soul. He makes me joyful. He makes me happy. When I was a kid, we used to watch a dumb show called The Roadrunner. Marlo liked The Roadrunner. You guys know about The Roadrunner? Meep, meep. Meep, meep. And you know, behind that roadrunner, there was always somebody chasing him. That wily coyote. He was always trying to eat that roadrunner, but he could never catch him. And that roadrunner, he'd take some quick turns, and that wily coyote would go right over the edge. But he'd go over the edge, and before he'd go down, he'd kind of look. Look around. Boom! Down he would go. Make an indent in the earth, you know, the shape of his body. A few minutes later, meep, 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 he's up chasing that roadrunner again. You know, sometimes we feel like that. Sometimes we feel like we're just being chased by a wily coyote, just after us, ready to eat us up. We don't know what it is. But Jesus said that he is come to set us free. And what? Him that the Son hath made free shall be free indeed. Just, you know, when he's behind you, breathing down your neck, you know, the scripture says that the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Just remember the strength of Samson, how he carried away the gates. He grew his hair long, you know. Just remember Samson. Just remember the children of Israel when they were backed up against the Red Sea. and the Egyptians behind them, and nowhere to go. And they cried out to God, and they murmured to God, hey, God says you got the answer. Stretch out your stick. And they walked over on dry ground. I'll tell you a story. I would have liked to have read it to you, but it'd take quite a long time. It's just but about 1862, the Southerners were camped February 29th. It was Jeb Stuart's horse company. He was probably the greatest cavalry leader that ever lived. And they were camped, built themselves some log huts, and you know, in the winter, the war kind of slowed down. They call it the Civil War. I don't know why it wasn't civil. It was bloody. And they weren't expecting any trouble. There was about 450 of them. But Custer was to create a diversion. Custer was with the federal troops, or what we now call the North. And he was to create a diversion for another part of the army. So he went and attacked these 450 troops. But they had already had scouts out. They kept them out, and they seen them coming. So they got prepared and got ready for him to come and attack them. And they took their cannons, and they shot their cannons and landed a few volleys. And it halted Custer. He wasn't prepared. He wasn't expecting it, you know. And they weren't expecting it in the snow and in the winter. And they say that people were dying everywhere, and the cannons were going off, and the horses were falling down, and people were screaming. And there was a few of them left of the Southerners, of the 450. And they didn't know what to do, and they knew they were going to be wiped out. So you know what they decided to do? They created a diversion. They put men on horses behind the cannons. And they started yelling, "Bring up the 7th Cavalry!" And then behind that, it just happened at that time that the train had went by in the distance. And a whistle blew. And the North thought that they were bringing in more and more and more. And Custer decided, "I've had enough." The Southern general said, "You know, man," he said, "you promised me you wouldn't give up those guns. Let's not give them up." And they fought for all they was worth. But there was just a few of them yelling back and forth. Custer retreated. And he ended up being chased for miles. I mean, he retreated back for miles. All the cavalry that was after him got into one skirmish after another. But the thing that I wanted to point out to you, there's many things in the story that I haven't told that actually happened because I can't recall them all, but is that the Southerners there, they didn't give up. They didn't say it's too late. When the battle got hot, they decided to fight harder. They decided to think and create a deception. Sometimes we feel like we're completely surrounded. And I know that clock goes fast when I'm up here. Sometimes we feel like we're completely surrounded and we don't know what to do. I mean, and I can give you examples, like if someone dies, you know, and it's like, and then someone is sick, and then there's a financial problem, and everything kind of seems like it's going to close in on you, and you don't quite know what to do. Well, what does the Bible say? It says a lot of things. And I don't have time to tell you them all tonight, not by any means. But listen here. 6 and 7, read 6 and 7 and then verse 8. When you do what he's commanded, your light will break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth. When you do what God, spring forth. You know, your health. God wants your health to spring forth. The enemy should not have you in retreat. The scripture says whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Speak the word of God. Hold on to it. Like I said last time I preached here, God still heals. Whoa. And God still delivers. And he wants to heal you, and he wants to deliver you. It is the Father's pleasure to heal you and to deliver you. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Do you know the scripture says that we are engraven on the palms of his hands? That was one of my favorite sermons. I used to preach your verses at Hudson, you know. I got to tell you guys, it's one of my favorite. I am engraven on the palms of his hands, where the nails went in. Some say the wrist, I think the palms. But anyway, Rodney Jean Burton. We are engraven on the palms of his hands. No, and no one can take us out. No one. The Lord's hand is not shortened. I'm going to talk about his hands a little bit. Numbers 11:23. From his right hand went the fiery law, Deuteronomy 33:2. To the man that had the withered hand, Luke 6, he says, stretch forth thy hand, and he healed it. Jesus was a carpenter. What kind of hands do you think that he had? A little bit calloused? I mean, do you think he ever hit his hand with a hammer? I know he never swore when he did. Do you think he ever got a splinter in his eye when he was working with the wood? Who do you think would have pulled that splinter out, you know, if he got one in his eye? Maybe his brothers? Maybe he commanded it to go. I don't know. I mean, I know that it says that he suffered as a man. He didn't sin, okay? Jesus was perfect. He knew what he was talking about when he said, get the log out of your own eye before you get the splinter out of your brother's, or the speck out of someone else's. Do you think that Jesus had to help discipline his brothers? I mean, being he was the oldest, did you ever think about that? Do you think maybe he had to spank them? I mean, because, you know, if you read Hebrews chapter 12, he talks about spanking, discipline. I'll bet he did, because, you know, his brothers wasn't really supportive of him. I mean, they said that he was mad. You know. Especially when he said that you needed to drink his blood and eat his flesh. His hands were pierced, and his eyes are piercing. Do you know not only are you engraven on the palms of his hand, but do you know that you are the apple of his eye? Did you know that? You know, what's the apple of your eye? You know, that's the very center, the pupil. I've had what's called iritis. It's arthritis in the eye right here. And it's terrible. Do you know, if you poke me in the eye, it it's going to hurt. You know, if you poke someone in the eye, right, it hurts. And you know, being the apple of God's eye, if someone hurts you, if someone harms you, do you know they're hurting God? Because he cares about you that much. His hands, his eyes, his blood comes from his side. You probably think I'm wandering, but I'm saying what I think that God told me to say. His hand, his eyes, his blood comes from his side, from the whipping, from the crown of thorns. It saves. It covers our sin. It heals our body. It not only covers our sin, but it washes it clean away. It makes us feel whole again. It lets that light here shine that we were just reading about. The light shall break forth as the morning. It takes away all the darkness in our life, all the things that keep us back. With his hands, he reached down and raised up the dead, Tabitha Kumi. Damsel, arise. The young girl came back to life. With his hand, he wrote on the wall, Mini, Mini, Tekel, Upharsin. Thou hast been weighed in the balance and found wanting. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. God wants to lead us in paths of righteousness. And the glory of the Lord shall be thy rear reward. In other words, the glory of the Lord is behind you. It's guarding you. It's keeping you. It's keeping any coyotes away from you, any old wolves. It's the glory of the Lord is behind you. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to look back, you know, like maybe it seemed like that, but remember Lot's wife? She looked back. And she turned into a pillar of salt. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. I love that when I see, Here I am. You know the I ams? He said, I am meek and lowly. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am from above. I am not of this world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the Son of God. I am the true vine. I am a king. The I ams of Jesus. When the enemy comes in like a flood, there's the I am. God will raise up a standard against him. I'll tell you a little story. I like to read about Ronald Reagan. He was flying over to Berlin. And he had a speech. And in that speech, it is written about the wall, you know, and all this diplomatic stuff. And he scribbled it out. And he put in there, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And then his advisors read it, you know. They took it back out. Wrote their little niceties back in there. He put it back in. He said, if you want peace, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. That wall is down today because he was a leader. We can look back and we can say that he changed the world because that's leadership. I can look back at my annuals, 10 years. You can look back and you will look back. And until you decide to take a stand, and having done all to stand, still stand. Until you take a tough stand, square your shoulders back, get psyched up, get knowledgeable, get a little wisdom, get ready to go. You've been practicing long enough. Like I said before, it's time to turn this world upside down. You can do it with the power of Christ inside of you. It's time to make a difference. Jesus said, I come not to call the righteous. You are righteous. You've heard all this stuff many times before. I didn't come to call you because you're righteous. I come to call you to take a stand. A friend of mine this week said, do you believe that Old Testament? He spent 12 years in a Catholic school. Really, he's a really close friend of mine. That's a bunch of fairy tales. Oh, I said, oh no. Not one jot, not one cross of a T, not one dot of an I will pass away. No way. Are you sure? I'm 100% sure, I said. You're 100% sure? If you're wrong, that's going to shake your faith. I said, that's not going to shake my faith. I'm standing on a rock. My rock is Jesus. And the wind will blow. And things will happen. And I'm still going to stand on him, no matter what happens. Sometimes, I always have a lot to say. Sometimes I don't understand how I got to the place that I've come to. You know, I thought God would maybe make me a great preacher. I've suffered a lot, you know. Christopher says I'm not supposed to talk about it, though. But I've suffered a lot, I think. But I think that if I just, instead of that, if I would just have looked at this, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health spring forth speedily. If I just looked a little closer, if I'd maybe just confess the scriptures. If I maybe, you know, in North Central, they were really down on name it and claim it. And sometimes when you get down on something, it seems like you go the other way, if you know what I mean. Like on New Age, you know, angels, we can kind of go the other way. But it's not too late for any of us. You do what God wants you to do, you'll have good health. You do what God wants you to do, the light will break forth as the morning. And thy righteousness shall go before thee. I mean, you have Jesus' righteousness in you, but he'll lead you in those paths of righteousness. It's time for me to close. Just say a few words in closing. Don't let Satan deceive you. Don't. You don't need to. There's no reason to. Just walk in Jesus. You might look back and wonder how you got where you got to. And frankly, I think when the kids get older, it's hard to remember even how they got older. You know, they just somehow they grow. And you wonder how. But they do. Sarah came in today and she says, Daddy, you don't love me anymore. You don't love me. You just don't love me, Daddy. You know, sometimes when we don't get our way, we think that God doesn't love us anymore. But he loves you so much. And I'll say it again to remind you that you are engraven on the palms of his hands. You are the apple of his eye. He died on the cross willingly. No one took his life away for you. Now you, your part, is to be a leader. A leader doesn't lead by consensus or by polls or by what people feel or by what people think. A leader knows what he believes and he has character. And he steps out and he leads. He's a light. I do a lot of ice fishing. And I sit there in this, above this little hole, and sometimes I wonder why, you know, and I look down there, and you'll be sitting there, and you might get there maybe at 11:30, you know, it's a good time to get there. You put your little grobber maggot on your hook. I had one left. If I can tell you a little story, I had one in my pocket, and wrapped it up in a napkin, and I didn't throw the napkin away. And a friend of mine, his baby, sneezed. And snot went all over his pants. So I handed him my Kleenex, which by then had turned all yucky and stinky. But you sit there, you know, by that hole, and you wonder what you're doing. And you know it's dark down there. And you know, why is that fish going to bite on this little thing? And then about 4 o'clock every day they bite. You just know. You get in like a pattern every day, 4, 4:15, 4:30. You're going to get fish. It's just the way that it is. If you stay there long enough, you're going to get fish. You stay in Jesus long enough. You keep your hook baited good. It's going to pay off. You might not see the rewards right away, but you just wait. I mean, what kind of a dummy would take and put my, you know, I'm going home, you know. I mean, you put it down there, you wait an hour. I don't know if you'd be dumb to do that. You'd probably actually be smart, you know, and then you give up. Paul didn't. Stephen didn't. Moses did, but God brought him back. Elijah did and he didn't. He ran away. Abraham, he didn't. Cain, he did. Eve and Adam, they did. So, what are you going to do? Is your name going to be written down in history? The Lamb's Book of Life? Time to close.
I think we should sing Stand Up for Jesus. Let's stand. You have to stand singing this song. Anybody got a page number for me? 27 what? 273. appreciate that tonight. I want to remind you that there is afterglow downstairs. Let's pray and be dismissed. Father, we thank you that you do love us so much. Lord, that we are the apple of your eye. And Lord, you have engraved us on the palms of your hands. But the ultimate display of love was when you died on the cross for us. We thank you for that open display of affection and love. And Lord, that love has changed all of us. And we just, again, thank you for that tonight. And Lord, we commit ourselves to you because of what you have done for us. Lord, in our willingness to work and be involved in your army is because we love you in return. And Lord, just encourage us in these days ahead. I pray, Lord, that you would give us good health and strength, that we could be about the battle, and we could be led from victory to victory. Lord, just lead us each step of the way. Your word tells us that if we should acknowledge you in all of our ways, you will direct our paths. And so, Lord, we do acknowledge you, and we ask that you would direct our paths, that you would direct each step. And now we ask that you would bless the food and the fellowship downstairs, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.